Thank you, Larry. What a powerful, powerful song. We're glad you're here. We are in our third week in this series on fear. And just a couple of things as we get started this morning. I've been thinking, obviously, as these lessons have been coming together about the amount of fear that people feel in their life. And I know there are a lot of you right now that have a lot of fear in your life. And I know there are those that are watching at home that have a great deal of fear in their life. And it's understandable, isn't it? I mean, look at the world we're living in, the mess it is. And it seems the news cycle every day gives us more reasons to fear. And if you follow the news cycle, you will live your life encased in a cage of fear that you will never escape. Are you going to allow your fear to cause you to never, ever live again? This series is about what we do with our fear. And I think the thing that I fear the most is the future, is the unknown. If I had a magic crystal ball, I used to have a secretary that I'd ask her something, she'd say, "My crystal ball is broken today." If I had a magic crystal ball and I could look in the future, I don't know that I would fear it as much, but we fear the unknown. And all those words on the screen right now, they seem to dominate a lot of people's lives. And in that, the Lord comes along and He says, "Fear not." 365 times, one for every day of the year, we've said, the Lord has said, you don't need to live a life filled with fear. You need to rise above that fear. And that's what we're trying to do in this series. But why do we so often respond in fear? And is there a better way? And how do we find that way where we don't live our lives in fear? And we looked the first week at this verse in 1 Timothy chapter 1, or 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We said here is the spirit that God has put in His people. And then we turned to Jesus last week. We look at John chapter 14. Then we talked in John chapter 14 about this beautiful, wonderful, powerful truth that He is going to prepare a place for us. And remember, He says, you believe in Me, you believe in God, and twice in that chapter He will say those words, let not your heart be troubled. Neither. Today we're going to turn back to the Apostle Paul, and we're going to look at the verse that we read together a few minutes ago, and we're going to notice that sometimes in our life, fear and anxiety become the natural responses to the troubles of this life. It is not surprising when there's so much fear in our world that has become the natural response that people have and that people feel. That response is clear and it comes into people's lives. And what ends up happening is eventually we end up having it so deeply ingrained in our thinking that it becomes a way of life. And the fact is, fear becomes a habit. Fear becomes a habit. Our natural response is bent to fear. It becomes habitual in our life. And we can all conclude that God doesn't want His people to live in fear of anxiety, of adversity, of the future, of decisions we have to make, of adversity, of the things that are coming in our life. God doesn't want that to happen. If He did, He wouldn't have told us over and over again not to fear. And I don't know what you've got going on in your life this week. I know several of you have some major ordeals going on right now. And if I could speak into your heart today, I would say God doesn't want you to live your life filled with fear. But how do we do that? How do we change this habit called fear? How do we rise above the fears that seem to overtake us? In the last chapter of Philippians, Near the end of this book, Paul has kind of a rapid-fire succession of what I call imperatives. One statement after another he hits us with. Today we want to look at two of them. We've already read chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Here it is in another translation. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I think we all would agree that anxiety and fear seem to be cousins. They seem to go together. And Paul is saying we don't need to live our life filled with anxiety and with fear. We need to overcome that in our life. But some of us hear that and we think, that is too good to be true. You don't know my mind, Brother Dale. You don't know what's going on up here. You don't know what I'm dealing with. It's easy to say not to fear. And did Paul even live in the real world? I mean, Paul never dealt with rush hour traffic, did he? Paul never had to deal with a mortgage payment. Paul never had to deal with social media. Paul never had to deal with insurance premiums and deductibles and how to make it in this world that we live in. Paul didn't live in the real world. How could he understand my fear? The bottom line is Paul didn't live in 2020. He would never get this. What if? What if I told you he just might know what he's talking about? What if Paul did live in a real world? And stay with me for just a minute. What if the world that Paul lived in had greater reason for anxiety and more reason for fear than our world today? Now, I know some of you don't believe that's possible, but what if? Allow that in your mind for just a minute. What if he lived in a real world where he had that sort of thing? Look at his words. Five times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a day and a night in the open sea. Paul was on the Titanic. Not really, but that's the idea. He was out there just with pieces of wood hanging on to them in a dark, dark ocean. I've been constantly on the move. You know why he was on the move? Because there are people trying to kill him. I know you have a lot of anxiety in your life. If you think somebody is trying to kill you, it's possible that's true, but it's more possible we have counselors you need to see, and I'm not being ugly about that. That is reality. He had people who really were taking vows. They would not do this or that until they saw that Paul was killed. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. There's dangers in every side all around me. Paul had every reason to have a dread, anxiety in his life. I've labored and I've toiled and I've often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and I've thirst and I've gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern from all the churches. Paul said, listen, I fully understand your fear. I get it completely. I've been there. I've lived it. And if we're making lists today, I challenge you to find a list in your life more complete than that one. What if he did understand? I mean, honestly, Paul had as much experience as any of us have had with trials and tribulations, with fear. Yet, he will say near the end of this book, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. Now, if you would, for just a few minutes, we'll come back to it later in the lesson. I want you to tuck verse 11 away in your mind. Remember, are you ready for this? What comes after verse 11? You know what comes after verse 11? Thank you. Verse 12. Very good. One of you got it. The rest of you, we have math teachers. I want you to tuck verse 11 in your mind, and we'll come back to it in just a few minutes to look at verse 12. What if? What if Paul really knew the answer to fear? What if he knew the secret of living a life free from fear and anxiety? What if he really knew how to live a life deeply content and satisfied? What if he understood it all? Wouldn't we want to know it if he did? I believe there are three great messages that Paul has for you today. Whether you're watching at home today, and you're scared of your own shadow, or whether tomorrow you have something coming up in your life that's a test that you don't know how you're going to pass it or if it will come back the way you want it to come back. Three things for you today. You ready? Number one, what Paul would say, entrust your anxieties. We say it this way, give it all to God. Entrust your anxieties. Look at what he says in verse 7. The secret that Paul learned about fear, anxiety, and worry is that they belong in the hands of God, not yours. Now, if you take screenshots, this is the one to take. If you want to remember something today, this is a phrase to remember. This is everything. Because anytime you start trying to hold on to that fear, are you listening carefully? Larry, thank you for leading us in oceans today. I don't know about it. I can hardly get through that song. What a powerful song. What meaning there is to it. But anytime you start holding on to that anxiety, you will not walk on the water. It will pull you under and drown you. You're not going to be able to come up by yourself. The secret Paul learned is that these things belong in the hands of God, not yours. He is strong enough. You believe that. You're a Christian. He is powerful enough. And he's chosen to take those from us if we will give them to us. The secret sauce is that gratitude-laced prayer in every circumstance and situation you find yourself in will free you. Some of you are thinking, though, that's too simple. That's too Christian. This is too complicated and difficult a situation for you to give me such an easy answer. Are you listening? Just because the words are simple to hear does not mean they are simple to practice. And the fact is, while those words may be simple, you need to give them a try. Trust them. Trust them. You see, to go from novice to master is not to be able to learn to keep all the plates spinning, to smile when everything around you is going bad, is not to deny reality, but the secret to going from novice to master in dealing with the difficulties of life is for us to learn to give those difficulties to God, to develop this simple habit. Thrust your anxiety on God. He's big enough for it. He's strong enough for it. And you are not. The difficulty is developing the habit in which you place those difficult, troublesome situations and circumstances in the hands of God. That is what's hard about this. That's what's challenging about this in my life and in every one of our lives. That's what makes life difficult. Number two. Express your request. Express your request. I want you to notice exactly what Paul's going to say in this verse. He's going to tell us to petition God, to bring those things before him. Now, here's something I love about God. You ready? God is not shocked that you have anxiety in your life. It does not surprise God that you have fears in your life. God is not waking up in the morning, reading the newspaper, and saying, "Oh my, I can't believe these people are struggling with things." That is why he sent Christ, because he knew we would struggle with these things. That's the very reason that he is in our life, that he is present. This is no news to God. This is not something that overwhelms him. God does not hear your unnatural fear of clowns and say, "You shouldn't have that fear." God does not hear your prayer about your family history with cancer and think, "How in the world do they have any fear about cancer?" What he does do is he says, "I want to hear from you. I want to hear what's going on in your heart and in your life and in your mind. I want you to bring it to me by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. I want in everything for you to present your request to me. God wants to hear from you about your concerns. If it's big enough to worry your heart, it's big enough for God's concern. You say, I shouldn't be worried about this. You know what happens? Worry is one of those things that builds up in our heart. And if we suppress it long enough, it overcomes us. And so what Paul would say to us is, don't let it be like a volcano and eventually erupt. Every time there's a fear in your life, every time there's a worry in your life, take that worry to God. Bring it before Him, because He wants to hear from you. This is a little weird, okay? I admit it, but I wanted to practice this some today. I mean, it's easy to put the words on the screen to everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. But you've heard that verse all your life, haven't you? What if we actually started practicing it? So I want to give you today three prayers. You ready? You don't have to pray them with me, but I want you to watch the words. I'll repeat them. You can watch them on the screen. Thank you, Father, for the home we have. Thank you for providing shelter and warmth and protection from the sun and rain. I don't know how we're going to pay the mortgage this month, but I know you do. Father, please calm our hearts and guide our steps. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, thank you for my dad. I love how hard he works and how every Saturday morning he brings donuts back to us. But Lord, you know he's been drinking again, and I'm scared. I don't know what's going to happen. Please help him, Lord, and please help us be safe. Amen. Or how about this one? Thank you, God, for the first 70 years you've given me. I could spend days recounting the endless blessings you poured out in my life. I'm humbled by your faithfulness. I received a cancer diagnosis yesterday. I know you aren't surprised to hear that, but I'm scared. I'm terrified to start chemo. I don't know who will organize Thanksgiving or Christmas if I'm gone. I need to know you're here with me. I need to know that this will all be okay one way or another. And I need to know that if I'm gone, that someone will help my spouse. Thank you for hearing me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, those won't be yours. Maybe one or two of you have those almost identical, but yours will be different. But what if you started putting your request right before God with thanksgiving? Lord, I know that you are big enough and that you care about me enough that whatever the outcome of this is, it will be okay. What if that became our default mentality, to present everything to God? And when we faithfully put our fear and anxiety in its proper place, we can expect that peace will follow. Now, stay with me for just a minute. Are you with me today? Because this should speak to every heart here. Remember where we started? You got to put it on God. You got to trust Him that He cares enough. And then you got to present your request to Him. And then and only then can you expect His peace. Expect His peace. I don't know what you do in your life to not worry. I've for years, and I don't have it in my pocket this morning. I normally don't have it on Sunday morning. I probably should carry it then too. I carry a little rock in my pocket. It has the word peace on it. And it's to remind me that God gives peace to me. I have a coin. Have I showed you my coin before? Have I showed you all my coin? This is yes, this is no. I don't think anybody's seen my coin before. This is a 1929 peace dollar. Stephen, you know what it is. Some of you collect coins, know what this is. So it's not an exceptionally rare coin, but it's not, they know, you probably won't get one when you make change, okay? It's a peace dollar, 1929. On the back of it, there's the eagle. And the eagle on the back is different than any other silver coin you'll have. And here's why it's different. The eagle does not have its wings open, but down. It's a peace eagle. I carry this coin with me everywhere I go. It is to remind me that I should have the peace of God in my heart. To remind me that regardless of what goes on in this world, that God is bigger than it. And to have peace. I don't always do it. I'd be lying if I told you I always had that reaction. But more often than not, I do. That coin is not the reason why. The coin is just a reminder to me. And the reminder is I need to learn to expect God's peace to live in my life. And if you're writing on your outline, I want you to do something for me right now. I want you to mark through his on that. I want you to write the word your somewhere on that page. Expect your peace. Because his peace will become your peace when you do number one and number two. When number one and number two live in your life, number three will follow. You should learn to expect his peace in your life. Expect that God would come through on his end of the deal. Again, some of you have stuff going on right now, and it's big. Some of you for about 8 or 9 months now have been living your life in total fear. I watch it. Some of your fears seem irrational to me. But you see, your fears are not my fears. But just like my fears I have to trust God in and expect his peace in, you have to learn to do the same thing. That God is bigger than those fears. And that you can cast things on him. You see, I can't logically explain this. Listen very carefully to this statement. There is not an agnostic or an atheist on the face of this planet that I could present this verse to. And they see how it makes sense. And the reason is, it does not make sense. This is not a logic thing. This is a peace, and Paul even tells us, this is a peace that passes, I love this translation, that transcends all understanding. And, are you listening? It's a peace that will keep your heart. But you got to do number one and number two. You've got to cast it on God. You've got to then express it to him. And only then will that peace come into your life. Only then can expect the peace of God to live in your soul. Paul's going to say in this verse, remember in verse 11, I told you we're going to come back to it. Remember what he says in verse 11? Wasn't he pretty clear? I've learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I'll be content wherever I am. I used to read that and say, even if I lived in Mississippi, I'd have to be content. That's not what the word state there means. Obviously, none of you ever lived in Mississippi before, so you didn't get that. Any place you are, any situation you find yourself in, any circumstance you find yourself in. Now, here's why. He gives the why in verse 11. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, what we want to do is we want to take this verse and make it a verse that tells us, I can accomplish great things. The sky's the limit. Reach for the stars. Can we leave it in its context? Cast your care on him. Expect his peace. Then you can do all things. And what is the all things? It's just possible. The all things here he's talking about is contentment in your life. And let me ask you, which is more valuable in your life? $1 billion or contentment? I know a lot of people that have a lot of money and no contentment in their life, no satisfaction, no happiness. I know a lot of people a lot of money in their life. I know a lot of people with a lot of fame in their life that destroy their relationships because they can't learn to be content. I know a lot of rich folks who have destroyed their marriage because they can't learn to be content. What's the biggest I can do all things through Christ? It just may be the biggest I can do all things is to learn contentment in your life. That is perhaps the biggest thing you can learn in your life, that you can put in your life. Paul knows what we need to know, that in the hands of God, through the power of Christ, that anything is possible, that all things are possible. So here's this week's challenge. Here's what I'd like to ask you to do this week. Commit this week. We've given you a challenge each week in this series. Commit this week to developing a more faith-filled response in every circumstance and situation. What have you got coming up this week? What have you got coming up the next few weeks? Whether it's the holidays coming up, the change of political power in our country, whether it's the rise in cases of the virus, whether it's concern of a change of leadership in your company or in your corporation, here's what I want you to do. I want you to begin every morning, write out a few prayers, like we prayed a few minutes ago, the ones I put on the screen. Similar to those for your own life. And did you notice the pattern those prayers went? God, here's the problem. God, thank you for being in there in my life. God, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this problem, but I know you do and I trust you. That's the template. It's not hiding. It's not being dishonest. It's being thoroughly and completely honest with God about what's going on in your life. Begin and end your prayer with gratitude. Name your request to the Lord and trust His process. And throughout the day, as trouble comes, practice. Maybe put it on your phone and just reach out and open it up and read it. Or write on a little card and stick it in your pocket and reach out. Or maybe have it on the dashboard of your car. And every time you get in there, start praying that. Well, we want you here. Some of you, we want you back. Can I say it clearly? We're not asking to be unsafe, but I am asking to stop living your life in fear, to begin to break free of that fear. Because what I've learned the last 9 months from all this junk is that when you think it can't get any worse, you name the situation, it can, and it probably will. So the question isn't the situation. The question is, how are you going to deal with the circumstance, and are you going to trust God in it? Let's take a minute right now and pray. Will you bow with me? Our Father, we are so grateful for your love. God, I am thankful for these people. I love them so much. What a blessing they are in my life. I'm thankful for those watching in their homes today or wherever they are. And Father, I pray you'll bless them. Father, help us not to be unwise, but help us not to live our lives encased, enslaved by, chained to fear. But may trust be our beacon. Help us not to fear. Help us to hear your words, fear not, and to break free from those fears in our life. Father, thank you for your Son, for your followers who give us an example of how to live our lives away from, above, apart from fear in our lives. Father, help us this week, whatever's going on in each individual heart and each individual life, to cast that fear on you, knowing that you love us and that you care for us. And Father, when we get triggered by the news or the media or social media, when whatever it is in our life that causes us to be inflamed and to lash out and to express our fear in ways that are not healthy, Father, help us to remember there's healthy fear and unhealthy fear, as we talked about a few weeks ago, and help us, Father, to take that unhealthy fear and to put it in its proper place. Thank you for Jesus most of all. And help us to know that through Him, we can live lives of contentment. In His name we pray. Amen. So today, I want all of you to respond. Everybody here. I don't want you all to walk down the aisle. You can walk down the aisle if you want to. But I want you to respond to this sermon. If you don't need to respond to this sermon, just hand me a note when you walk out. I'll let you preach next Sunday, okay? I imagine all of us need this. So please, when you go to lunch in a little while, when you're visiting after and talking about football or politics or whatever it is that you're going to be talking about, please don't tuck this sermon away as the next and move on. Let it live in your life a while. Let it stay with you this week. If not, you can become enslaved to fear. And today, if you're enslaved to fear and you need us to pray for you, we will as a family. If it's of a level that you say, I need others, I can't do this, I need to talk to these folks. You can come forward and this whole family will pray for you. Or you can grab an elder and say, listen, we need to talk. And our elders will pray for you and with you. Now, of everything I've said, for some of you, this next thing is the most important. If you're not a Christian, this whole dynamic changes and shifts. Can I tell you something really clearly that may not make sense to you, but that you need to hear? God treats His children different than everybody else. Now, if you're a parent, that's not news to you, is it? I love all kids, but I treat my two different than any other. I love all of these little ones running around, but I got five grandchildren that belong to me. They're different. God makes His sun to shine on good people and evil people. He sends the rain on just people and unjust people. God is not a respecter of persons. But that same God loves His children with a love that is everlasting, that cannot be taken, that cannot be shaken, that cannot be moved. That love is unique. The unique love of a divine parent and a human child. And so today you need to be a Christian. And it won't all make sense to you at first. You won't have all the answers. But today you come to Christ. We don't ask you to do anything here. God does. And what He asks is that you believe that Jesus is His Son. That you confess that. You make that statement. It may be verbal, but more than verbal, it's by the way you live your life. And that you be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That word baptized means immersed, that you're baptized into Christ, that you're immersed into Him, that your life is immersed in His life, and that you come up as a new person, free of sin, and ready to live for Him. There is no shame in the past if Jesus is your present. So today, if we can help you, make Jesus your present. Will you come while we stand to sing?